the Supreme Lord Balaram, the master of all transcendental knowledge, smiled and said nothing when he saw the residents of Vrindavan in such distress, since he understood the extraordinary power of his younger brother. Here we find the Supreme Master and Controller over all that exists is manifesting himself to his devotees in apparently a completely helpless position. Krishna is appearing as a beautiful small child. The residents of Brijbhumi, so much merged in the sea of love, they are blinded from the ability to see his absolute position. Mother Yashoda is thinking, he is my child. He's helpless. If I do not punish him when he does wrong, that he will not grow up to be a proper gentleman. And Nanda Maharaj, he is thinking, this child of mine, how if I do not work very hard throughout the day, we will not be able to supply him nice milk, nice curd, nice butter. And if that is not provided, then he will not grow to be big and strong. And the gopas, the sakas, they are playing with Krishna, sometimes teasing him, sometimes even thinking that they can defeat him in various type of games in the pasture grounds of Brajbhumi. And the Braj gopis, the elder gopis, are simply thinking that why is it that my own children, who I am supposed to be so attached to, that I have practically no attachment to them when I think of Krishna. My heart fills with so much love, so much feeling for this Gopal, that I love him more than my own child. I want to embrace him. I want to feed him. I want to please him in every way. And these younger gopis, they are simply longing for the time when they can see the beauty of Sri Krishna. Simply longing and awaiting for the moment that they can offer something of their love at his lotus feet. But they are thinking that he is simply the neighborhood village boy who has stolen our hearts, who has stolen our mind, who has stolen our senses, who has stolen our lives. So in this realm of yoga maya, Krishna is the all in all, the everything. He is the only reason that the Brijbasis are concerned to even take one breath. If not for Lord Sri Krishna, they would not be concerned with even making the endeavor to try to breathe. Their exclusive meaning and purpose in life is simply to remember him, to think of him, to protect him, to offer their love to him. So how can we understand the intense spiritual emotion that is taking place in this particular pastime? By all practical purpose, we can understand that it appears that Krishna is finished, that he is going to be killed, a terrible, gruesome death. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they are feeling themselves completely helpless to do anything to protect him. This serpent Kaliya, with his many, many hoods, flames pouring from his mouth. He is a serpent that has appeared as if he has ascended from the lowest regions of hell. And the Brijbasis, they have no armies. They have no formidable weapons. They are simple, peace-loving villagers. What possibly can they do? When the residents of Vrindavan come, they want to just jump in the waters of Jamuna and just start fighting this snake, knowing that they are sure to meet their death. But better that they die than having to see Krishna meet such a violent end. But Sri Balaramji, he is preventing them. As he is watching the Brijbasis weeping, crying, beating their chests with their fists, falling to the ground, fainting unconscious, reeling in delirium, crying, screaming, praying to God. Such a pitiable, lamentable condition this world has never seen. Sometimes when there is a great tragedy and someone's life has ended, all relatives, how they weep and how they cry and how they lament. But even the most pitiable scene in this world cannot compare to what is taking place here. Because what is the extent that we could love anyone in this world? What is the extent that we can be attached to anything in this world? When a wife or a husband or a child or a parent, when they die and we lament to the extent that we were attached to them, to the extent we had this sense of love for them. Correct? In the Mahabharata, we read the story of when the news came that the Pandavas and Queen Kunti, they were burned to death in the house of Lakh in Varanataka. And the well-wishers, they were crying like anything. But Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, they actually wanted them dead. Huh? So when the news came that they were killed, they were pretending to cry, but actually they were jubilant. They were considering their lives are successful. Now there are no more impediments. Huh? So you see, because they had no love, because they had no attachment, even when the apparent news of their death came, there was no lamentation. They were actually rejoicing in a secret way. So when death comes, lamentation, tears are only shed in proportion to how much we have love and attachment to the person. And when someone is in a fearful condition, anxiety is according to our love and attachment. Now, what is the difference between our love and attachment to the mortal frames that we consider our relationships in this world to the love and attachment of the Brijbasis for Lord Sri Krishna? Huh? So therefore, we cannot even compare, we cannot even imagine what type of suffering they were undergoing by seeing their supreme eternal object of all love and all attachment in a condition where he was about to die. Here was little Krishna, whose limbs they would find the greatest ecstasy in embracing, in holding, because each limb was so soft that it made melted butter seem very hard. When they would touch Krishna, he was so soft, he was so gentle, that he appeared to just melt in their arms. So delicate, so helpless. And yet, this beautiful, tender body, the gopis, they would weep throughout the day when they would think of Krishna in the cowherd pastures with his lotus feet, having to touch the pebbles and the stones and the thorns. His body is so delicate, so soft, that if someone would even touch Krishna, his transcendental flesh would, there would be imprints. So they were thinking that how much pain these little pebbles and stones in the ground must be causing to his soft lotus feet. The gopis thinking that even our soft breasts must be very hard when they touch the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And here is this most delicate, gentle child, and he's in the coils of this terrible, gruesome demon. Huge, massive serpent. Appearing like his hoods are touching the sky. With venomous eyes, red with anger and rage. And his cruel bifurcated tongue is going in and out as it looks like, looking like he's just about to lick up and swallow the whole universe. You know how much we are frightened when we see just one little snake with one head crawling on the ground. We think, oh, this may be the end of my life. He may be 3-4 feet long at the most. One little head, one little tongue, eyes you can hardly see. He's crawling on the ground. And we're afraid of such a serpent? Huh? Who would say they are not afraid of such a serpent? Imagine Kaliya, hundreds and hundreds of heads, coils, his hoods, so big, so massive. He was a Rakshasa demon in this form. So the residents of Vrindavan, all of their hope, all of their love appeared that it was about to meet a cruel demise. The most frustrating condition in this world is when everything is against you and you realize that you are utterly hopeless and helpless to do anything to protect yourself or to protect your loved one. For the residents of Vrindavan, there was just nothing they could do except stand there and watch. And as they were falling unconscious, reeling in pain of the heart, it is described that Balaram was smiling. And he said nothing. Because he was the only one in Brajabhumi who knows who is Krishna. He knows that for Krishna, this little Kaliya is no more significant than an ant. Huh? But why Balaram, why he allowed the residents of Vrindavan to experience such terrible anguish? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains here in this purport two reasons why Balaram was smiling and laughing over this whole scene. One is that in this Leela of Sri Krishna, Krishna never cared to play with him in his form of Sheshanaga. But now he's playing with this ordinary mundane snake named Kaliya. You see, for Balaram, he's just seeing this snake as just a insignificant upstart because he's Sheshanaga. He's the king of snakes. He's the supreme spiritual snake. What is this Kaliya compared to him? And I am the supreme spiritual snake who is eternally under the divine control of Sri Vishnu. I am eternally subordinate, even in my supreme form of Ananta Shesha, who is holding all the universes on my head like little mustard seeds. In that form of mine, I am always subordinate to the form of Vishnu. And Vishnu is but a mere expansion of my Krishna. So what question is there that this tiny little insignificant mundane snake could have any power to hurt my Krishna? So he was simply laughing about it all. To him it was a joke. And second of all, he understood the nature of spiritual emotions, how they have nothing to do with material feelings of this world. You know, in this world, if someone dies, their family laments, and it is our social duty to go to them and tell them, "We are sorry, we have come to mourn with you, we have come to sympathize with you, we have come to console you, we've come to give you some philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, Nahanyate Hanyamane Sarire, to try to relieve you from all this pain and anxiety." Huh? This is human nature. It is social duty. It is civilization. Misery. We need the support and the help and the sympathy of others. And here, Balaram, his own family members, Nanda, Yashoda, Rohini, his mother, all his friends, Sudama, Shridhama, Subala, Stoka, Krishna, Madhu Mangal, Arjuna, he's not sympathizing or consoling them at all. Why? Because he understands what is the difference between material emotion and spiritual emotion. Material emotion, whether it is lust, whether it is anger, whether it is fear, lamentation, separation, greed, it is also a source of misery, suffering, and bondage. But when those same feelings are directed toward Krishna with love, it produces the ultimate transcendental ecstasy of spiritual bliss. So Balaram was simply thinking, "I do not want to say anything and I do not want to interfere because these Brijbasis are on such a high plane of transcendental devotional ecstasy that this is a wonderful thing to see them suffering like this for Krishna." Huh? It is a spiritual ecstasy. We cannot understand what is spiritual ecstasy unless we are completely on the spiritual platform. They looked like they were miserable. But Balaram understood their real condition. Similarly, one time at New Vrindavan, I remember, we were sitting in Srila Prabhupada's room, and one devotee, his name is Chirantana. He said, Srila Prabhupada, so many times when we give people your books, people complain that if this Krishna consciousness is supposed to make you blissful and joyful, why your guru, his picture in his books, why he always looks so grave and so angry, so sad? And Prabhupada, he replied, it is because you do not understand the science of transcendental ecstasy. We cannot understand what these spiritual emotions are. When a devotee weeps for Krishna, when a devotee is in danger, any of his emotions, they are on the spiritual platform. They have no material motivation. And these things cannot be judged by our mundane senses. In fact, if we try to judge these things with our mundane senses, we commit offense. Srila Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita warns us, even the great Vaishnavas, we should not try to judge their material conditions with our senses. If we do, we commit an offense. If they are 100% engaged in the loving service of the Lord, Daiviheshu Gunamayima Mamayaduratya, they are under the spiritual potency of the Lord. Diving prakriti mashata. They are a part of Krishna's divine lila. Huh? It's like recently one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers was speaking, saying that the final pastimes, the disappearance of the spiritual master, as well as his childhood before he was manifesting his divine mission. He said these things should not be really discussed or revealed to the ordinary people, because with their mundane senses they cannot understand it. They are plagued to think that these things are ordinary. Those who are true devotees of the Lord, however it appears, they are under the divine potency of the Lord. The spiritual master is the representative of the Lord Sri Krishna. It is all meant to increase our spiritual emotions and affections for those who are sincere. And Balaramji, being the original spiritual master, he could see this. I will not say anything to these Brijvasis. I will not do anything. I don't want to interfere with the way Krishna is trying to increase the loving emotions of his devotees. Sri Balaramji Ki Jai. Lord Krishna is so kind, so merciful. He is always putting his devotees in the best possible situation to increase their attachment, increase their love, and increase the remembrance of him. And if we simply learn how to welcome his mercy with a grateful and humble heart,
We are sure. To experience the true nature of His love. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Although it's not stated here, that Kaliya bit Krishna on the chest. So in order, the inhabitants of Vrindavan stayed there for 2 hours. They must not have seen any life in his body. If they had seen the slightest bit of life, they would want to have remained alive. But when Krishna understood that they were on the point of death, they must not have seen any life in him also. That he was simply limp in the coils of the serpent.
Arivo.
So I throw that in.
Thank you very much. What were you doing then? Actually, when we read this story, we are all standing on the bank of the Jamuna watching, because this lila is eternal, nitya lila. Wherever the sound vibration of any lila is being spoken, the lila is actually manifesting, taking place. Right here in this room, Krishna is as much in the coils of Kaliya through the sound vibration of this lila as he was 5,000 years in Vrijabhumi. There is no difference between the sound vibration of his name, his form, his quality, or his pastimes. What was available to the Vrijabhasis 5,000 years ago, that same experience is available to all of us if we simply hear with a submissive and faithful heart. Is this correct, Sri Galim Prabhu?
Why did Kaliya wait to hold him for 2 hours?
Hmm?
Kaliya is a serpent, and he used to eat other living beings.
Hmm.
Why did he hold him for 2 hours? Usually he ate his prey right away, so he was dangling Krishna in this coil. Why didn't he immediately?
There are many, many explanations for these things that the acharyas give. But ultimately, Kaliya is simply a puppet in the hands of Krishna. In the ultimate sense, he was simply being utilized by Krishna to assist Krishna in his wonderful pastimes and his wonderful exchanges with his devotees. So this 2 hours was the time that Krishna wanted to give his devotees this sweet, sweet ecstasy of expressing how much they really loved him, how much they needed him. Huh? So in order to put his devotees in these pangs of complete imminent separation, lamentation, and grief for him, Krishna simply, from within the heart of Kaliya, like a puppet, he had him perform this inconceivable pastime. Why is it that every day the demons came just before lunch? Huh? Because Krishna knew that the cowherd boys were so immersed in playing that there was just no way that they could stop playing to eat. They were just too much having fun. So right when it was lunchtime, a demon would come and interrupt all their playing. Krishna would kill the demon. Just by watching the demon being killed and killing the demon, they would all become very hungry. And it was all so that they can just increase their ecstasy in enjoying nice prasad. Huh? So Krishna has everything orchestrated. Not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. Krishna wanted to show the world the extent of the love of the Brijavasis for him. Krishna allows his devotees. Why did he allow the Pandavas to be banished for 14 years? Krishna organizes everything. All things together work for the good for those that love God. How Krishna orchestrates everything in the life of his pure devotees to ultimately glorify them in the eyes of men for all time to come.
Well, it's amazing that when Mother Yasoda wanted to enter the waters of the Jamuna, she was stopped by Lord Baladev. Then the gopis began encouraging her, you know, Krishna killed Putana, he killed Trinavarta, he killed Vatsasura, he killed Agasura, certainly he'll make it through this one. But then after 2 hours they thought, he's not going to make it through this one.
Krishna tests us to the extent of our abilities. He will push us to the very end, even in this world, for a neophyte devotee. He will push you to the very end. Just like in your own life with this court case, you were also in the coils of Kaliya. People were telling you the same thing, correct? There's no hope, there's no chance. Yes, Krishna always protects his devotees, but he's not going to protect you, right? Isn't that what people were saying to you? Yes? And just at the very, very end, at the last possible moment, Krishna freed you, he liberated you. And through that whole ordeal, what type of faith? How much you learn to take shelter of Krishna. How you realize we are helpless and hopeless without his mercy. And how much the world can appreciate the faith that you had in that situation. If you want a nice, comfortable, happy life, Rupa Goswami says, you should not worship Krishna. Those who approach Krishna have to be prepared for anything, at any time. But with faith, they know that it is all for their ultimate good. Because if you worship anyone else, you will not be awarded with the highest love, the highest purity of devotion. But if you are a sincere devotee, Krishna will do the needful to bring you to his eternal abode. Yes. Ananda Vrindavan. Das, the servant of these transcendental ecstasies of Vrindavan.
Maharaj, why is it so that Krishna, when he tests us, at that time we are in a very bad condition of hopelessness and helplessness condition. And he tests us, at that time we get a good realization that it is only Krishna who has done everything, not we. And he had put us into that condition so that we get that realization that we cannot do anything, only Krishna does it. But that type of a realization is not there forever. After some time, when everything is okay, when everything goes very nicely, that realization, we forget it altogether. And we have not got that advantage altogether that what had happened. So what had happened last time, means what had experience we have done it, that we could not get that advantage for the whole of our life.
But little by little, as we go through these wonderful experiences of Krishna's mercy, our heart becomes more and more purified. And when the heart becomes completely unalloyed of material attachments, material desires, then this state of consciousness that you are talking becomes permanent. It is in fact the eternal nature of the soul. By properly chanting the holy names, by faithfully serving the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, by following the regulative principles, and by engaging in the process, the nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam every day, we are in the proper setting by which Krishna can really give us his mercy. And if we just continue this process with great determination and faith, through all the trials, tribulations, joys, and pleasures that Krishna gives us in life, then little by little our heart becomes more and more and more pure. To the degree that we are still conditioned, we experience realizations and then we forget. We experience and we forget. We experience and we forget. But as we're experiencing, we're becoming that much more purified. And as we go on, we forget less and less and less. Huh? Until ultimately, we are always remembering Krishna. We are always remembering his mercy. It is impossible for us to forget. For one who loves Krishna, they cannot forget him for a second. It's impossible. The gopis, after Krishna left, they were trying their hardest to forget him. They were telling Uddhava, we want to forget him. We're trying our best. And one other gopi said, but we can't. Let's just face it. We can't do it. Whatever he may be, we cannot forget him. We cannot stop loving him. We cannot stop crying for him. This is the pure state. Ashlisya vapadaratam panashtuma madarshanam maramahatam kodotuva yatadadadavidadatulam patomat prananatastu se evanapara. Krishna, if you like, you can kill me, you can embrace me, you can trample on me, you can neglect me, you can do anything, but I cannot forget you for a second. I am your servant unconditionally. So through the process of following the principles of Krishna consciousness and attracting the mercy of Guru and Krishna, gradually we attain that state where we forget little and little less each time, until our constitutional nature to always remember Krishna is revived. Thank you.